Good morning. Morning. Before I start, just want to say I put this little book, Why Israel, over there. If anybody wants it, it's a little freebie by Derek Prince on material previously not published. So if you want to, you always wonder why Israel, then it's a very simple, quick, easy read. Please take it. Hallelujah. I wonder how many of you read the local paper. Read the Post? Yeah, do you read the historical bit by Sylvia Endicott? Yeah? No? Yes? No. Well, last week's, she started just by saying, it was this, herds of milking cows were common sight. Yeah? One of our diminishing services is that of daily delivery of fresh milk to our doorstep. How many people remember finding the milk float in front of us when travelling by road from Bognor to Chichester? Well, I remember that. How many? Yeah, a few, yeah. A few of us are old enough to remember these things. However, this has not always been the case, so I thought we should have a look at the history of this customer service. Around the 1830s, it would have been a common sight to see herds of milking cows passing along the streets and lanes around Bognor. And in fact, I think it was still possible even into the 1960s to see them in Alderwick and so on, crossing the road and so on. Okay, so why am I talking about cows? Well, when Viv and I were in New Zealand, we stayed at a place called Morrinsville, and Morrinsville was the centre of the dairy industry in New Zealand, certainly in North Island of New Zealand. And there isn't a lot to go there for. And so what they've done is put around the town a herd of 50 cows, of this life-size cows. They're not real, you understand. So you can go on a trail looking at all of these. They're all outside various places. They're all different colours, all the same size, but different colours, different decoration. So, for example, outside the veterans' place, the equivalent of our British Legion, that cow's got a machine gun on its back and things like that. So we only took the picture of this particular one in particular. And this one is outside of Morrinsville Baptist Church. It's a new building, recently new. This happens to be right behind it, is the plushest toilets I've ever been in a church, even beat the hotel in Dubai and so on. So it was really nice building that God had blessed them with. This talk that I'm giving today, it's not a teaching, it's not really preaching, I don't think. It's more of an encouragement. And it sort of come about because of some words that particularly came to Viv. One was by a lady who was visiting, who prayed for and had a word for Viv. Another one was a word that Helen gave to Viv before we went away. And then while we were at this church, we went there about four times, there was a lady speaking who'd been a missionary. She and her husband had been missionaries, and she was speaking one particular day, and again, this particular topic, this particular word that the Lord was giving us came out in what she preached and prayed, and then in fact, talking to her name was Colleen, and then talking to her husband, Bruce, he was saying the same thing. It was quite amazing. And so it's come out of that, okay, this morning. I've reflected on why... Sorry, I keep wandering, Greg. I do apologise. Why jigsaw? Why is the cow decorated with jigsaw pieces? And Viv loves jigsaws. Okay. I expect other people do too. But the thing about a jigsaw, as you can see there, although all the pieces are different, they're all the same. Actually, they're all roughly the same size, roughly or similar shapes. They all have the same function of fitting together into one picture, but each one is slightly individual. And it's true for the body of Christ, isn't it? Actually, that each part is incredibly important to the makeup of the whole picture. But each one is just slightly different. We're all saved, we're all born again, we're to be part of the body of Christ. We all have so much. We're all indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and yet each one of us is made slightly differently to fit into a particular place in the overall jigsaw. And again, if I can just quote Viv, sorry, this is a collaborative effort, you'll understand today, that she had a little revelation doing at jigsaws one time because she'd got so far in this jigsaw and she could get no further. It wasn't complete. And she realised that one of the pieces that looked as if it should be where it was actually in the wrong place. And that hindered the completion of the picture. It also meant that the piece that was out, that should have been there, couldn't fit where it should have been. And so once that was rectified, the whole picture, of course, emerged. And it's like that for the body as well. We need to make sure that we're all important, we're all needed for the body of Christ, and God gives us particular giftings, and that's the giftings we operate in. And sometimes that changes slightly. So we can be in sort of things that are quite look as if they what we should be in, but actually the time has come to change. And that's certainly happened for us a bit, where we start to look at various changes. Just on that particular bit, I wanted to just read something that Ben read and I commented on at one of the body ministry meetings, where Ben was talking about the body. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, it just said this: those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. Okay. So every part of the jigsaw, every piece, even if it seems weaker or doesn't seem to be quite the right colour, actually is necessary for the overall. So let's pray. Let's just pray. Thank you, Father. I want to just commit to you, Lord, what I want to share this morning, Father. I think what you've laid on my heart and certainly confirmed in various ways, Lord, that you would just take that this morning and just encourage our hearts, Father. Lord, and challenge us, Father, where things that I say might be true of us in our thinking or in our opinion of ourselves and so on, that, Lord, you would challenge us and set us free. Set us free, Lord, this morning from any strongholds in our minds that limit our effectiveness for you. Father, the way that we see ourselves in you. So, Father, release us, we pray. Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for what you're doing for each one of us. And, Father, we just pray for great freedom, great colour. Lord, release of colour and vibrancy, Father, as we just enjoy you and know the joy, Lord, of being in the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Tony mentioned earlier John 3:16. So it was the first verse that I ever memorized. I don't know what yours was, but it was certainly my first verse I ever memorized as a child. God loved the world and gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Is that right? It's not right. No. No, it's not. It's not quite right. Not quite right. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What a difference one little two-letter word makes, isn't it? One two-letter word makes a huge difference. God so loved the world, including you and me. The little word so, now this isn't really my area of expertise, it should be Ben's really, but the word so has 12 meanings or uses. One little word has 12 meanings or uses, and I'm not going to go through them all. But, for example, it can mean in order that. So God sent his son Jesus so that, or in order that people might be saved. It can mean the result is God made salvation available through his son Jesus so people believed and were saved. In this case, it has the meaning of to such an extent. And so I think on the next one, Yeah, this is from the Amplified. Is it the Amplified? No. God loved the world to such an extent that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. To such an extent. Just think on that. To such an extent. So much God loves the world. The Amplified Bible, I think it's on the next one. God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave up his unique Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave up his unique Son. And that's all tied up in one little word. One little word emphasizes just how greatly God loves us. We live on the world, in the world, on the earth, this planet we call Earth. And to us, it's huge. I mean, it took 24 hours of flying time to get to New Zealand. So it's pretty big. Pretty big. Now, that little bit there is where the Earth is in our solar system, in our little bit. Okay, just there where that dot is. So we think it's pretty big, but actually, it's fairly small, isn't it, by comparison? So there it is. And if you ever go out at night, if you ever find somewhere dark enough, actually, I went out one night last week looking at the sky, middle of the night, and of course all these lights that people have in their gardens now that are solar powered, unfortunately, were affecting how dark it was. But if you go out somewhere like the Yorkshire Moors or somewhere a dark place and you look up, it is just amazing, isn't it? It is so dense, the sky with stars. And yet, what we can see at night is just covered by that little circle. That's, and you can't see it very, it's not showing very well on that screen, but all of this is covered. It's just massive, absolutely massive. It's hard to wrap our minds around the fact that there are more stars in space than grains of sand on every beach on Earth. Actually, more stars in space than if you got all the grains of sand together. Now, it seems to me that if God makes this, he must be pretty big himself. Yeah? God must be pretty big. And yet, as Amy was praying, God became a baby on this little insignificant planet. He made himself so small compared to this. He did it because he thought each one of us was significant, and he so loved us that he wanted to do it. But he became small and yet immensely significant in what he did. Changed the whole of history, impacted the whole universe through what he did. Yet he was small, but what he did was so significant. So we've talked about one word, so. We've talked about Jesus and the world. What about a person? And I'd like to introduce you to this small but significant. That's what I'm talking about, if you haven't understood that. This girl, young woman, I'm not sure how old she is in that photo, but I want to talk about a time when she was either 18 or 19. She was still a teenager in 1904. And she's fairly recently saved, actually, as well, although she'd probably been around church for quite some time, but fairly recently got saved. And on one particular Sunday, this second Sunday of February 1904, in a youth meeting, not even the main church meeting, but the youth meeting, which took place after the church meeting, in a little town on the coast in Wales, she said 21 words, and this is what she said. "I am unable to say much today, but I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. He died for me." These words, I'm quoting here, these words became the spark that ignited the revival fires. Fires that eventually would spread throughout Wales. Insignificant, this young lady, in a side meeting? Not a bit. Not a bit. She was involved later on with other young women and things, with Evan Roberts and so on, in helping to spread that. Obviously, lots of other stuff had gone on, but it was her words, her testimony, her 21 words. That's all she said. "I can't say much today." And that was enough. It was little, but totally significant. I think I've got a little bit more to read to you, if I can just find it. Yeah, I'll just read it to you. "One Sunday in February 1904, in the youth meeting, Florrie stood up and publicly confessed that she loved the Lord Jesus with all her heart. The effect was electrifying and deep beyond description. Gentle weeping spread through the congregation. After this, the numbers of young people in attendance grew week by week. Some travelled up to 15 miles to attend the weekly youth meetings. The zeal of the youth grew, and many of them, accompanied by their minister, soon began spreading the fire to other chapels in West Wales." So we shouldn't dismiss ourselves or others or little words as insignificant. They can be exceedingly powerful and significant. I remember the day that I got saved. I only said one word. I just said, "Come." That's all I said in my prayer. "Come. Just come." And the Lord came, totally transformed. One little word, totally transforming. And when I was at university, there was a story. I think she was still there when I was there. She's a year or two ahead of me. But there was a girl who, she testified that in her exam, one of her exams, her mind went blank, completely blank, complete writer's block, just complete. So obviously she couldn't write, so she prayed. She could think of nothing to write, so she just asked for help. And the Lord, one word came into her mind, one word, the word "nonetheless". Now, she could have dismissed that. I said, "Well, that's not God. That's not God." But she wrote it. And as she wrote it, the flow started and she was able to finish her exam perfectly. But it's that thing. Sometimes we might receive something or hear something or someone might give us a word and it appears insignificant. But actually, there might be something within it actually God is saying, which is totally significant for you. And we shouldn't dismiss, this is part of the word that Viv had from one of the ladies, don't dismiss that which appears to be insignificant because God can make it significant. And don't dismiss things just because they're young or small or whatever. And Gideon last week, bless him, managed to creep in under the radar and get in just before the end of the meeting. And so, "Gideon, please do come up earlier and more," and so on. And he just said, I think I put it on a screen, he just read this one, Proverbs 30. "There are four things that are small but unusually wise. Ants, they aren't strong, but store up food for the winter. Cliff badgers, delicate little animals who protect themselves by living among the rocks. The locusts, though they have no leader, they stay together in swarms. And the lizards, they're easy to catch and kill, yet are found even in king's palaces." So the Bible is also telling us that small things are significant and can have great wisdom in this particular verse. And I'd like to just show you one or two other little verses this morning before I finish. And the Lord said to him, that's to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." And yet God went on and used that staff in Moses' hand. Another one. 1 Samuel 17:40. David chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he approached the Philistine, or the giant, with 5 stones. And actually, I remember hearing somewhere that why did he choose 5, apart from it being the number of grace and so on, but why did he choose 5? Because he had 4 brothers. So in other words, actually, only one of those 5 was for Goliath. The others were just in case his brothers decided to step in as well. Another one. Matthew 13:22. And this, that's the mustard seed, is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree. So that, it talks about the birds of the air being able to nest within it. But it's that "so that," okay? Might be small, but don't dismiss it. It's significant. God has plans for all sorts of things. And then finally, last one. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? What are these for so many people? Small, it fed 5,000 and there were 12 baskets full left over. Yeah. What's being offered is small, but it's totally, totally significant. Now, there are lots of other scriptures that I could refer to. And I just say to you, don't forget the widow's mite. Yeah? What Jesus said about the little that she put in. And Dorcas's small acts of kindness that they remembered after she died. Maybe you want to try, or we want to try, something like that this week. I have a little box of what they call kindness cards. Okay, let me just read. I'll just read 3 of them. You might want to take one on board as a small thing that you could do and see whether it makes a difference. It'd be nice to hear any testimonies. Okay. Tell someone you love and value them in a way that they will appreciate. So find the way that they'll particularly appreciate for you to tell them that you love them and value them. That's one suggestion. Surprise a friend or a colleague by leaving a note to make them smile. Yeah? Leave a note of thanks for anyone who provides a service for you. Refuse collectors, postman, milkman, or window cleaner, or any variation thereon. Small but significant. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. Father, for what you're able to do. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would help us. Father, if we consider ourselves to be small and insignificant, or that what we do is small and insignificant, that you would totally change our perspective and understand that, yes, it might be small, but actually it's extremely significant, because you add that significance into it. And you have created each one of us. You have made us to be a particular shape and colour and to fit a particular place within the jigsaw. And so, Father, help us to realise that. Help us also not to dismiss those things that you're saying to us as if they're insignificant. Help us to grasp hold of those little words that you speak to us and take them and act upon them, Father, and receive them to ourselves. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, Father, for the abundance of your love towards us. And we thank you for Jesus, who became so small. And yet, Lord, he humbled himself right down as low as he could go on this really tiny little planet. And yet you exalted him, Father, far higher than anyone else could go. He is at the highest. And Father, we just want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you for your love for him and for us through him. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would encourage us this week, that you would bless us all. And Father, help us, Lord, as a jigsaw to fit together and to form the picture that you're wanting to do in this place. Lord, for the world to see. Lord, for the world to see. Set my heart on fire, Lord, for the sake of this world. Set our hearts on fire. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your patience, for listening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Amy. I'll get that later.